Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is Monday of the 11th week of Ordinary Time, and from South Africa we hear from Father Martin Badenhorst. Father Martin is a pastor and lecturer in Scripture at St. Augustine College in Johannesburg. He is coming to us from Hyde Park, Johannesburg, and his preaching is entitled, Eye for Eye Blinds Us All.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. At that time Jesus said, You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. In cultures which could easily overindulge in revenge and vendetta, the lex talonis, or eye for an eye, placed a limit. Even as this limitation is taken up in the Old Testament from the surrounding cultures, the teaching around the lex talonis expanded beyond a mere mechanical retribution, blow for blow, tooth for tooth, eye for eye, life for life. The teaching in Israel pointed to restitution rather than retribution. If an eye for an eye is applied mechanically, you end up with a significant population of one-eyed people. And if such a one-eyed person were to cause further injury to another's eye, do you take their remaining sight, thus leaving them destitute? That does not make sense. Even limited retribution causes unlimited harm. Instead, Jewish law, and Jesus would have been aware of this, spoke about restoring the value lost. They had the wisdom to see the restorative aspect of the law. Tables were drawn up of how value was to be replaced for lost limbs and so forth. Jewish tradition also clearly understood that a life for a life did not actually imply a death for a death, which is what we so often read into it. The law celebrates and favors life. A convicted killer has to return the material value of the life taken to the victim's family. Restitution, not retribution. So the law regarding capital punishment in Deuteronomy has an ironic twist. We read in Deuteronomy 17 verses 6 and 7, the testimony of two or three witnesses is required for putting a person to death. No one shall be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. At the execution, the witnesses are to be the first to raise their hands against him. By extension into the modern jury system, the jurors should be forced to carry out the execution if they find for a death sentence. This term and condition to the death sentence is often ignored by those who insist on the biblical justification for capital punishment. A life for a life, and the laws governing capital punishment in the Old Testament already create more favorable conditions for restitution rather than retribution. Let the guilty work and so support those harmed by their actions. Let there be some way in which the guilty may begin to make reparation. Now Jesus takes that movement to restitution over retribution a little further. when evil is done to us? Do we have the faith and creativity to challenge the wrongdoer there and then to restitution? Some of the actions that Jesus recommends forces the wrongdoer to face social and legal sanction. For instance, Exodus 22 verse 25 states, "If you take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, you shall return it to him before sunset." Roman law at the time of Jesus allowed for impressment, that any citizen of an occupied country could be commandeered to carry a soldier's backpack, weighing up to 120 pounds or 50 kilograms, but only for a Roman mile. Further than that, the soldier risked punishment. The generosity in the face of oppression that Jesus demands is of such a nature that the oppression is unmasked and an opportunity for repentance and restitution is created. We are invited to look for the opportunities for calling for repentance and restitution when faced with injustice. It is not enough to protest against injustice. An alternative way of relating must be created, which challenges to repentance while it is restorative of balance and equity. This broader aspect of restoration is also vital in the handling of historical injustices against peoples and nations. Jesus' challenge is to build a society embracing repentance and restitution rather than one which practices retribution. And this challenge remains pertinent in every age.